yesterday at the Voice of the Martyrs, and it was just absolutely a superb day. Speakers and the stories that they told, I want to tell more at the next class rather than just repeating everything. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful day, and we've got it easy in America. You get out of fellowship because somebody cuts in front of you in a car. I mean, you should have been there yesterday. You would realize these kind of things are very simple and not important at all. But this morning, both classes, we're honored to have Basil Young, John with us and his wife, Carrie. And I'm just going to not take any more of his time. You know who he is. He's been here before. So, Basil, you'll come forward.
So, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much, especially the reminder. Yesterday, before I went to the stage and speak, Brother Herman Maddox came and he said, you know, nobody had mentioned the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, thanks for reminding me. So I said, I'm going to ask him for help, because without his help, I'm nothing. So, and while our technician helper is doing the help, why not let's ask the Holy Spirit and God's blessing on this hour so we can talk about what God is doing in Pakistan. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much for all the opportunities, as we were reminded yesterday, that all our life's disappointments are your divine appointments to lead us, to guide us, to encourage us, or maybe to someone else. Through our poverty, we can reach somebody else. Through our suffering, we can comfort to somebody else. Through our pain, we can be relief to someone else. Thank you, Father. Your plan is marvelous. Your things work awesome way. And you are awesome, God. Because your plan is beyond any wisdom that exists by any human intellect. Thank you, Father, that you work in a mysterious way. That you take our pain to comfort someone else. You take somebody else's pain to remind us this is not our home. We are here as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for your providence. Thank you, Father, for your righteousness. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your grace. And this is not in the Bible, Father, but I'm going to be facetious like Pastor John Hintz. You are so lucky everything goes in your way. So bless our time together as we talk about your marvelous working, unfolding grace of God in Pakistan. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful body, for their love, for their prayer, for their devotion, for their dedications. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Guide me and lead me and direct me to encourage brothers and sisters here and those who are going to hear online. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I have a video I want to play. It's about the GBC Pakistan, what's going on from the morning. In summer, 4:45 a.m. to until sundown. So I want to share with you guys, I don't know if you have seen that operational video. And recently it was done in Pakistan. Then I was like almost 118 Fahrenheit. Two young men from Philadelphia took a challenge, inspired by the Holy Spirit, went to Pakistan. And actually that year, different people applied. Different people applied to go to Pakistan, and no one got a visa, only those two young men. Right away, and they went. They went, and it was not only the summer hot, it was also very dangerous. Very dangerous, but thank God they went. And we film these all pictures and stories on the ground. And even beyond that, it's a great spiritual conflict they face I was in. I want to tell you the story before even I go to explain about the video. I was at Lee fighting the typhoid fever. And it just so happened, I just got there, and I heard the word from this witch doctor who's worshipping Satan. And somehow I think with my gracious attitude I made him mad by sharing a gospel or did something that he was not happy. So he pronounced a curse on me. He said, I'm praying for your downfall, that you will be sick, you will never return back to USA, and your ministry will be destroyed here, and you will have a more demon attack. And when I heard that, I said, bring it on. Bring it on, let's see whose God is powerful. So, the things start happening. The very first day I got into Pakistan and I landed in Pakistan, I think it was a midnight. And next day I was going to do the morning devotion, so I'm doing the morning devotions and there's a mother and a sister and her daughter in the church. They said, you know, we went to several pastors and several peoples, and especially, I'm not going to, you know, put him down. He said, you know, I only pray one time and after that I don't pray. Whether God answer or not. I said, that's his deal. I don't mind pray over and over because Paul asked over and over, pray for me. So I said, I will pray for you, daughter. So we did pray and they went back. The reason was their daughter was having a demonic depression and also possession. Whenever she comes under this possession, she have enormous power, a different voice, a different personality, and it will scare everybody in their home. And they said, you know, will you please help us? I said, sure, we can pray. And we know God can answer and He will do whatever He can because He's mighty God. So I said, you know, we will come by your home this evening. And that was the morning meeting. We finished the devotion and there was nothing. And at that moment, because that girl was there, so I said, you know, you go home, we will come by your home this evening. Before evening comes, afternoon, the mother called my younger brother and saying, you know, this demon is in my daughter speaking and saying, do not call the pastor who came from USA, we will leave your daughter alone. Do not call him to come here. I said, okay, that's a good thing, demon knows me. That's a good thing. I said, there's a passage in the book of Acts. So I told the mother, I said, you know, do not let anybody, we don't need him, want to have any chai or anything, any hospitality. We will just come quietly because demons are liars. They can leave and then come back. And to just, you know, show themselves that they have left the place. So I said, don't tell anybody. We will come on our time and be just expecting us. So before, you know, evening comes, we went. We enter into their home with the whole family of believers that we were praying. Went as a group there. Guess what? The girl who was a demon possessed, the minute she saw us, she starts screaming. Starts screaming in a weird voice and saying, I told you, don't call them to be here. I'm trying to make a demon voice. And that was the voice. Why did you call them? We told you we will leave your daughter alone. And now here she is jumping like a monkey in the whole room and hiding underneath the bed. And we start praying. I said, Lord, I recall on the passage where Elijah was standing before 450 Baals of magicians and worshippers, and you prove yourself sending a fire and burning the sacrifice that there's only one true God in Israel. I said, Lord, send these demons into the pit of hell. They will never return back. And then demons start speaking. Oh, we are here to send by their relatives and this and that. And the family start looking at me. I said, don't believe them. They are not true. They're lies and that's what they do. So we start praying and the daughter got free from the possession. So daughter became a believer. Her mother became a believer, her sister became a believer, and plus her husband became a believer, and since that, they are coming to church every morning and growing in the saving knowledge of Christ. Plus, I just, last time leaving Pakistan, I did her engaged ceremony bless her and pray her, and she is fully capable and free from demonic possession. That's the one story that entering into Pakistan. So while that was happening, and yes, sir. While that was happening, and other many demonic things was happening. As this guy was pronouncing a curse on me, saying, "You will get sick." Actually, I got sick. I was to the point when I was sharing Carrie, I said, "I got a fever." And it was not going away. And she said, what do you feel?" And I start telling her my symptoms, that I'm having a hard time to breathe, water just running, constant cough, and I feel so tired, and I don't know what to do. And I was thinking, I just take some ibuprofen I brought with me, but it was not working. She said, "Go ahead, have some blood test." So I went and they said, "You have a typhoid fever and your inside is just on flame. And it is on top. It's so dangerous. It can kill you." So I shared the reports with Carrie and then told her the story and she said, "Okay, now we need to keep on praying." And I said, "I just want to get out of country." She said, "You can't. You love it when your wife said you can't." I said, "I'm just, you know, I was like having a David and God moments with God, complaining and just, you know, talking and trying to talk God into my agenda. I need to get out of here." And I was even repeating some idioms from Pakistan. I said, "You know, a live elephant is worth $10,000. Dead elephant is only $1,000 worth. If I'm dead, I'm not worth anything. I need to go back." And God saying, "Watch me. Watch me." And that's the song came into my mind. Watch me whip and watch me destroy. That's the song from the, you know, camp. Watch me whip. Watch me nene. And that's the song God just put it in my heart to encourage me. Watch me how I will whip the Satan and demonic activities. So I said, "Lord, I just want to get out. Because this enemy who's put the curse, I am just, you know, terribly in a bad condition." He said, "Just watch me whip. Just watch me whip." That's a beautiful line, you know, God just put in my heart to encourage me. So I stood there and I'm praying and asking God, and all of a sudden in midnight, it's unbelievable. I saw myself, I don't know how to describe. Like I'm standing there in a spirit and looking at my body like I'm out of body experience. Unbelievable. And I'm seeing these two forces. One is a completely dark with the figures like somebody is mighty. Another one is like the brightest light I ever have experienced. They are fighting over my flesh. And this struggle is going on and I'm watching it. The minute the struggle's over, I just, like, you know, came to my senses and woke up. I was full of sweating, like somebody poured a whole bucket on me. The minute I woke up, all the symptoms that I was experiencing, there was nothing. Everything gone in per second. Boom. I was sweating so much. There was no fever. Nothing. I called Carrie. I called Gene Cunningham. I said, "I look like and feel like a new brand paper came out from a printer." That's what I told him. I said, "I feel this way. I have no sickness." He said, "You must be, you know, touched by God over this demonic activities." And after that, I start singing, "Watch me whip." God said, "Watch me nene." And it's just, you know, beautiful. So that possession got broke, I got free, and that's how these young men came into Pakistan and did the videos in Pakistan. I think I will do this video. Where is that? Right here. Yes, sir. About DBC. So before we go, so this is the background when this video was done in Pakistan. They were facing, they said, "We have never seen a spiritual conflict like that." Hey,
In Pakistan, 98% of the people are Muslim. They believe in Muhammad and Allah. And 1.6% people are Christians who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I can tell you, it's a perfect place to share the gospel, what Christ has done for them. My great-grandfather, my grandfather and father, they were involved in witchcraft and idol worship. But thank God I became a believer by the age of 16, and my desire was to share with others what Christ has done for me. And we start a small prayer group to share Christ with others. That prayer group growing up so much that we were reaching many villages with the gospel of Christ and sharing Christ in so many ways, and that turned into a Grace Bible Church Pakistan, and it's growing and growing by hundreds of hundreds of people are receiving the word and the gospel of Christ. In Grace Bible Church, we have a Sunday service because there's a lot of hunger for the word of God and people want to know about the Lord. That's why we started a 7 days a week, a morning devotion every day. And when I'm in the country, I teach face to face. When I'm not in the country, I teach online via Skype. And it's amazed me when I see that how dedicated these people are and want to know who is the Lord and what He has done for them. We have so many different ministries God is using, from children to adult in Pakistan, in many different ways. It's mind-boggling to see what God is doing.
My name is Chris Harris. I'm an elder and the treasurer for Grace Bible Church Pakistan, as well as a house parent for the 316 boys. I also oversee the outreach ministry to bring the Word of God to the local families in their homes. When we go to different villages or house to house, we encourage them about Christianity and their faith to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, there is no eternal life. So, we edify them with the Word of God. When we go to villages like 65, we will gather everyone in one place and start with a song of worship. Then, we will pray. Sometimes, there are people who are sick, so we pray for the sick people. And to the end, we present the Word of God.
My name is Rajesh Samuel. I am a deacon and the secretary of Grace Bible Church, and I am also the acting principal of Grace Academy Medium English School. At the school, I take care of all the legal paperwork, and I also oversee what is going on throughout the day. That is my responsibility. In Grace Academy School, we first put a focus on Bible study, and we also teach English, math, Islamia, and also science and social studies, as well as many other activities. Soon, we want to start English-speaking courses at Grace Academy School, as well as how to read and write in English. We have students from prep up to 8th grade, and we are hoping to have up to 10th grade in the future. According to the government of Pakistan, they require you to have a different campus or classroom for boys and girls up to 10th grade. So we are hoping to do that in the future. We teach our students at Grace Academy English Medium School for free, and also provide their books, uniforms, and sandals. This is all done with donations we receive. We are also hoping to have a field that will be a playground for our orphanage kids, and it will also double as a playground for our students.
We wake up at 5 a.m. and then go to church. After church, I come home with the kids, and Saima makes breakfast. After they eat breakfast, they get ready for school. I help during the day with grocery shopping and cleaning. These kids have lost their parents. Most of them have lost their mother and father, and they came from broken families. So we take care of them.
Since we got here and we got these children, especially the girls, they had no social skills because no one was in their prior life to take care of them. We even had to teach them how to put their clothes on and tie their hair. even when the kids are in trouble. We love them. We consider them our dear family, and it is a blessing to us.
At the orphanage, it is amazing to serve these kids and to help them. It's difficult, but we like to help train them in what they don't know.
My name is Anila Harris. I'm the wife of Chris Harris and the house parent of the 316 boys with my husband. My hope for these kids one day is for them to have their own house so they can see the values that have been invested in them. They can be a reflection of Jesus and share the testimony of Jesus to let everyone else know that they have been imputed with the Word of God, as well as trained to behave as a good follower of Christ among others.
The reason I start Free Grace Theological Seminary because there was need of shepherds and leaders in so many places. So we meet once a week from 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's a tense Bible study, and we are teaching them a basic theological teaching so they can go out. And it is amazing how hungry they are, and it's continually going on. It's a 2 years long course, and it will be a blessing to see them to be a shepherd to so many different flocks.
My name is Elder Eunice, and I'm a security guard at the Grace Academy School and also a church elder for the Grace Bible Church of Pakistan. Especially right now in Pakistan, there is a lot of terrorism, and according to that, we need to have security to protect people at the church. We have two security guards for the Grace Bible Church that are civilians, and also the government sometimes provides 4 or 6 policemen, so church guards are always by the door, and the government police are standing on each corner to protect against anyone trying to come in.
I'd like to ask you, first of all, please keep us in your prayer, because it's a tough field. 98% Islam and less than 2% Christianity, we need your prayer. And secondly, I welcome you to get involved for short-term missions in Pakistan and see what God is doing in Pakistan. And lastly, I will encourage you to ask the Lord how you can help to continue this ministry by donating and continue to furthering the gospel of Christ, reaching thousands of people in Pakistan. Thank you for your prayer and for your donation. You are making a great impact, not on this earth, but for eternity. And you will see that when you see Jesus face to face. God bless and have a blessed day.
So this is the video has been done by two gentlemen who took all the heat. Actually, one was, it was so hot he have a heat, what is called, heat stroke. He was, you know, in a terrible situation, but thank God we had the air conditioning room. We put them there and they recover within three nights and a whole day. So praise God, it was good. And they saw so much. They said, you know, we grew up in America and we don't see anything like that. Seeing God's in action, seeing God's hand is just delivering people. In one occasion, we were having a big opening and they were going to share the testimony each, how they got saved and encourage people. As they finished and I was speaking, an old woman jumped from right from the back to the up front, and she starts shouting in a weird voice and was saying, "Stop, stop uttering the name of Jesus." And that's her throat like a witch, like, you know, she been smoking hookah for a long time. Like, "Stop, stop, stop uttering the name of Jesus." I said, "I'm not going to stop. What is your problem?" And then she started jumping like, you know, Jack in the Box, bomb. And then jingling and saying, you know, "Stop, stop." And I told Matt and Jeremy, I said, you know, stop filming, come over here, I need your prayer with me. And we start praying. We start praying and she just fell on the ground and just sat there and I said, I hope I didn't kill her. That was in my mind. I said, I hope I didn't kill her. I'm not, the guy who do the like a slaying. I said, I hope people will not get that expression. I'm like, slaying people. I said, Lord, help her. And I said, bring some water. So we sprinkled the water on her. She like jumped back like a jack in the box. And with a normal voice, she said, praise Jesus, He freed me. And they are gone, and they're gone. And everybody was thinking maybe she lost her mind and this and that. And Jeremy and Matt, and they were shocked. They said, we have never seen something like that. So they're filming everything. As this is happening, there's another woman came from a different village. She said, I've been demon-possessed from my childhood. And she was free. And then there was a Muslim family came. And they said, Jesus Christ saved our son. Because in the village, they said, it was a 50 feet deep well. And they said, 2-3 adult has been fell into and they die. Nobody recover. And they said, our son, we were in your last meeting and we pray and we accepted the gospel and we want to just come back to let you know that Jesus saved our son. There was a nobody. His bones was broken. He was only bruised and he came and they shared the testimony and again, the Jeremy and Matt from Philadelphia, they said, man, you are living like, Book of Acts. I said, God work in mysterious way. So I said, whatever is need, grace, He will abound grace. Whenever there's, Pharaoh, He will send Moses. Whenever there's, naughty woman like, Potiphar's wife, there will be a Joseph. So whenever there's, big Goliath shouting and malign the corrector of God, God will raise a David. I said, I can only say thank you, Jesus, because He is a God who can do anything. We cannot put Him in a cage. So these were the things happening in Pakistan while we were doing this video. So many great things happened. Another Muslim testimony. She came to our home and she said, somebody told me that you pray and they got healed. I said, praise God. She said, oh holy man. And she started touching my feet. And she said, oh holy man. I said, I'm not holy. Ask my wife. But I know who is holy. She said, no, you pray and they got healed. I said, God answers prayers. And I'm not holy, but I know who is holy. And I can tell you He can do whatever He wants because He is a powerful God. So she said, I'm here because I went to all the magic men, the doctors, I invested a lot of money and nobody was able to cure or heal. And it reminded me the woman, that for 12 years suffering with the bleeding, the story just popped in my mind and Spirit of God reminded me that's her problem. That she was looking for healing and peace and comfort and recovery all the wrong places. And now you are in the right place. I said, with one condition. First of all, I can't do anything. Secondly, I don't have a common ground with you. So the common ground to gain, will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? She said, I haven't no any other means. I did everything. Because in my home, when I read the Quran, on the wall, the writing shows up and it just scared me. I see a presence of darkness in my home and the voices that terrify and horrify me, I can't sleep. I physically are having a pancreatic problem in my body and also my family peace is destroyed. I've been everywhere and nobody have, help. And I just said that I've been everywhere. The Johnny Cash song just came into my mind. Sorry. So, she said, I've been everywhere. I asked everybody. Nobody was able to help. I said, will you put your faith in Christ? She said, yes. So I led her to Christ. She accepted, and she said, "What gift and offerings and things I have to bring?" I said, "Nothing except your faith." And is there a specific prayer that I have to, you know, memorize and utter like a jingle? I said, "Nothing. The best thing I can tell you, Psalms 23, a one statement or a little prayer. Lord Jesus, my shepherd, help me." I said, His name is so powerful, as you are me and uttering, the ripples goes from one end to the other end invisibly because His name is so powerful. His name is enough. I said, example over there, I said, you know, there's a fridge company. And they said, in your Dolan's fridge, the name is enough. I said, you know, I'm not talking about the fridge, I'm talking about the God of the universe. His name is Jesus. His name is enough. If you utter that, simply, I said, I will be delayed, I will be late, I will be in one place at one time, but He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. Utter His name. She said, okay. She went home. A week later, she came back for the Sunday service, and again, she's touching my feet, and she's just praying, and then, you know, trying to say, Babaji, Babaji, Babaji is like, you know, the man with the power, like, you know, respected and all kind of things. And the whole church start laughing at her. And I say, you know, give her benefit the doubt. And everybody start witnessing. We don't call Baba. He's a pastor. He's just a middleman. The real power is in God. He's just a man. So I said, yeah, they're right. So she said, I want to share testimony. Now she said, in my home, there's a no writing on my wall. There's a no demonic presence in my home. And she said, I just want to share, here's the report. There's no pancreatic in my body. I'm free, and praise Jesus, praise Jesus. She was shouting, and it was a blessing. So that happened. These are just a few stories of the mission that we did. And the next hour, I will share some more. I will share some more, and I just want to, you know, say, you know, last night phrase, that we should smell like a barbecue. Texas is a famous place for known for big things and also for barbecue. Actually, this analogy is born from here and half in Pakistan when I was driving through the villages. So the barbecue little vendors, I smelled and I said, wow, that's so beautiful, so attractive, so yummy, and I didn't pay a penny to smell it. And the same thing, me and Carrie was coming to the camp, and there was like, you know, big, like giant pits, and it's just smoking the meat, and it's just so flavorful. And all of a sudden, I was reading an account in Genesis chapter 8, after 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and land dry up and everything happened, and Noah comes out of the boat. God opened the door and he made the altar and put some holy birds and animals on the altars, and he smoked the meat. He offered the burnt offering to God, and the sweet, soothing smell that please and delight God. And I said, God loves barbecue. That's why God, you know, Texas is not just a Bible belt, but it's a barbecue belt too. So that's the idea is born. So whenever God allow me to have some time, I'm going to mention Texas analogy. And even I'm not going to sell a book, it's going to be the best seller's book. Every Christian should smell like a barbecue. And later on, you know, it just idea comes go all the way to Old Testament to New Testament. And God's not only smelling our living sacrifice, also other people are smelling what we are, you know, releasing the odor. Sometimes we have to put some deodorants to, you know, decay our human stink to, you know, have a unsupernatural smells, so people will not say, smell bad. But when we have a deodorant, everybody smells good. And that's the way when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are thinking in the Spirit, when we do everything in the Spirit, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks to be the God that who lead us in a triumphant, that our life is like a sweet aroma to those who are alive or living and those who are dying. So, we have a choice to be a barbecue of Jesus Christ to others. So, I think my hour is gone. I think. Okay, 15 minutes left. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, wonderful. So, that's the idea is been going on in my head. And God is working in an amazing way in Pakistan. Another Muslim story. Why I'm sharing the Muslim story? Because God's grace. Nobody can put in a bound or chain. So this security guard who was sitting for me and Carrie outside for 24 hours to protect us because that month, it was actually it was a December month. It was so dangerous. And they said, you know, you should not be here. Should not be here. So me and Carrie, we were having like, you know, a little bit like a birth pain flashings. Why we are here? And God sent us and the government is not allowing us this and that. So I talked to this guy and he said, you know, my wife having been, you know, pregnant, but there's a 4 or 3 miscarriages. Nothing happened. We went to all the Baba, you know, the magic man and all the physician, everything, and nothing happened. And as I'm witnessing that going with you in villages and different places and people are standing up, I was thinking you are paying them to give a testimony. And then I talked to them and they said, no, we really got healed. There was a woman, she had a big water balloon in her body. And they're saying, you know, we can't do anything. You have to do all kind of things. And she was afraid of operation. She heard first time that people, doctor will cut her belly and then take the water out of her body. She said, I'm afraid and I don't know. I don't want to do it. I don't have the money. Is there any solution? I said, yeah, prayer is a great solution. She said, I believe in prayer. So we start praying and within 2 weeks, this big balloon turned into like a, you know, goose egg. And after that, she went second time, and the whole water balloon was gone. So the policeman said, I heard that testimony. And then there was a woman who daughter-in-law had a blood cancer. And they were weeping, and they came back, and they shared the testimony that Jesus healed. And here's the report. It's not just saying it. Here's the report. Check it. Doctor was comparing. He said, what did you eat? What did you took? And she said, I just pray in the name of Jesus, and the doctor's jaw was dropped. What? So he said, I heard that news. Will you pray for my wife and that she stay remain pregnant? I say, you know, only God can do, I can pray. Pray doesn't hurt. So he said, I believe. So we start praying and his wife is pregnant. So this Muslim man, why I led to the whole rabbit trail? Because he allowed me to sneak out to go to the villages when he was watching for Carrie at home. And that was the Christmas care package we were doing. 1,270 boxes we did this last December. And guess what? I don't know how many, but people reported us. Over 200 young men, adult, old. They said from different villages, they heard the gospel, they understood the gospel, and they said, we were thinking we are born in a Christian family, so we are not going to, you know, we don't have to believe in the gospel. That was the big confusion, that we born in a Christian family, and my father is giving me a Christian name, so that make me Christian. I said, you know, no, you have to make a personal decision. Nobody actually, I told them, nobody born ever a Christian. If we born according to David, we are born in sin. If we are born according to Paul, we are born in, you know, bondage of sin. Depraved. But we need a Savior. So, they were reporting, and that was a beautiful thing to hear. And I had a, you know, a righteous, you know, what is called righteous indignation. No, not that one, the other one. I have a righteous, you know, conscience to say I disobedient to the government and obedient to the God of Israel. I had a three passages to just justify my conscience. And I say, you know, it's good to have a two or three witnesses to justify your conscience. So, first passage was Exodus chapter 1. The midwife did not obey the Pharaoh, and they didn't kill the babies, the male babies of children of Israel. And they were fearing God. I said, okay, that's one justification. Second one, you know, Rahab knew the God of Israel have delivered them and he's powerful, and she lied to her own countrymen and citymen and spared the spies. I said, second justification. I said, the third one, I need to find a third one. I said, you okay? Peter was told by the temple's priest and everybody, and they said, you know, you should not speak again by this name or preach anyone again. And he said, I'd rather obey God than man. I said, perfect, I'm clean, my conscience is clean like a snow, let's go, praise God. And the fruit was awesome. So many people got into the family of God. And I think I just want to say again, I quote some.
What would happen if they were not there at your church?
We also have several of our own guards. That is, the government said, you know, you can have a license. So if they are not there, actually they only come for Sunday service. Sunday service, and during the Sunday service from beginning to end, they will be there, and then they have to leave. Yeah. Only for the registering church, the church who have been registered in the government.
Sir, what would happen?
Then we have another option. We have our 3-4 guards that stand there to watch. And if anything happened, they said...
The one of the unit who has 20 years in the military, and then 3 other volunteers who volunteered to
the 20 years, and then other 3 are volunteers. They are learning, so they are holding the gates. Yeah, the good stuff. And the government said, you know, you need to defend. They said, and the government guards already told us. They said, if anything happened, we will try to prevent and stop the mob. If it's not, we will walk back, step back, and let them do whatever they want to do. Because 4 or 5 guards, they said, we are not ordered to do anything. Just step back against 5 or 10,000 people mob. Yes, sir. It's possible. Yeah. And it's happening all over in Pakistan. I will share in the second hour some pictures from the current...
allow you to have a church if it's mainly Islam. Why... would they allow anyone to have a Christian church?
Since the British was there, so the law is, you know, for the minority is there in the papers. First, and secondly, to worship in a segregated area. That's why we call the colonies. So people are living in colonies and surrounded by Muslims. So those are the colonies that Christians are dwelling, and most of time those colonies were given as a garbage dump, as a wasteland land, and over the time of period they become like the center of the city. In our city we have two Christian colony, and both of them were, one was the a waste of all the animals inside throwing place, it's like the butcher house. So they said, go dwell there over 70 years ago, over 50 years ago, and people start living, and now it become like a part of the city. Now where we are having the church, over 25 or 30 years ago, it was also garbage dump. People used to do the brick kilns, and also a dead animal was thrown after being butchers or dead, all the bones and everything. It was a stinky place. So that became also now a colony, and now it is surrounded by courthouse, city police station, school, and they just build a gated community that each house is like over, like, you know, thousands of dollars. And we are millions, I can say. And then there's a railway track, and then a big farmland, and we are in the middle right now. And I tell them, I say, you know, God take a mess and turn into a message. You gave us nothing, and God made out everything.
To answer your question, Christians are needed in the Islam religion, because some jobs are unclean jobs. The video you saw yesterday.
Yes.
No Muslims will do that because they'll defile them. So
right.
The Christians are needed in the community. So they allow you know, Christian mission
schools. To do the dirty work.
Yeah. And then we have they allow some mission schools, they allow churches. But you have to register and you have to make sure that you pay them their money and do all that.
Do you feel the hatred amongst all the people around?
No.
Around up, like, you know, having the school, we will let the Muslim children come, be educated for free. And they have made these comments, it's just heartbreaking. They said, our own people don't even consider us anything. And you are giving our children education, free uniform, and many other things, and you don't do hate. Even one Muslim, he said, I was in one of your meeting and there's a song, the God Jehovah. If God Jehovah is a fighting for you, who can stand against you? If he is with you. I had to think in Urdu, okay. So, Jang jina di larda Jehovah, o jang kadi nahi harte. Jang is a war for Jehovah, who war for those who believe in him, they will not lose the war. They will be victorious. So the story I was going to tell, this Muslim, he said, I was an imam in my masjid, which is a mosque. And I was doing everything. He said, my community left me, my wife left me, and my relative left me. Everybody dumped me. And he said, I was in one of your meeting, and that song became my faith statement. Jehovah will fight for me and nobody will stand against me. And he said, now, from now on, he was telling me, he said, anytime I'm in this problem, I just sing that song. Jang jina di larda Jehovah, o jang kadi nahi harde. Zor jina da banda Jehovah, for those who have the strength of the Lord will not lose strength. So it's just a beautiful song. It's written in a perspective of, you know, essence of God, like, you know, power, strength, and wisdom, and perfection, and everything. So that's another story, and he sings that song.
Muslim children come in to tell them about Jesus Christ.
We are openly shared because
having, you know, thin walls, when you have 30 kids are Gentiles, and other 70 kids or more than 70 kids are Christians, and they are shouting, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life, and they can hear.
Yeah, we have assembly every morning when we begin school 6 days a week, and the kids recite, you know, through the Spirit, and they yell it out.
Whole community can hear it, actually.
But now, from third grade to eighth grade, we're a school from kindergarten or prep. Even younger, to eighth grade. From third grade to eighth grade, we have a Bible class 4 out of the 6 days. When they're in third grade, they get a Bible, and then they begin. Now,
and the Muslim parents don't care.
No, we tell the Muslims, you can enter your child into the class, or you don't have to. They can sit in another room and do homework or do something else. We're not making anybody do anything. But the influence is there. They say that their kids go home and they sing the Christian song because that's what they're but we're not.
So not that many will go sit away.
Does any of the Muslim kids actually go to the Bible class?
Some of them were going, and they were learning, and only problems
comes when they go back and recite the Bible passages. And then the parents will, you know, a little bit get mad, and they will come and say, you know, why our children are listening to the Bible, and why they are not being taught their own faith. I say, you know, we have the class for them, but they choose to just go to the Bible class, that's all.
We have to be a registered school.
This is
Islamiyat. And we have to teach every child Islamiyat. They have to pass it every year in order to go to the next grade.
What is that? What does that
encompass? The basic tenets of Islam. Mm-hmm.
So
they say God is one, and it's all this stuff, and they learn it, but then they also learn the Bible, mm-hmm. and then they make up their mind like all kids do anyways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no one. There's very, very little people in Pakistan with no faith at all. They have a faith, and they're seeking that faith. Yeah. Like here, there's so many unbelievers that deny everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's even. I don't know. I say it's all bad, but that's to be not believing in anything is pretty bad.
When I was in Jordan, so I learned from some missionaries there. If you're quote born Christian, then you can practice Christianity. But we know born Christian, that doesn't mean they were saved, but born Christian. But you can't, a Muslim can't proselyte a Christian. Is that the same in Pakistan?
No.
They actually come to me so many times, and they will give me the passages, and I will say, And then I will ask, you know, I say, you know, there's also Bible says, you know, the Quran says, if you don't understand anything, go to the people of the book. So I have a question. Tell me who are the people of the book. And then they will look and look and they say, Israelites and Christians. So I said, maybe you are not understanding, so I can put some lights on you. And then you share, you know, without Christ, there's no hope. Even if you don't believe, and there is a very essential truth, if any Muslim do not believe in Jesus Christ, they cannot be Muslim.
Nations, most of them, Muslims share their faith with everybody, openly, sometimes in a mob. Sometimes they even, but Christians, we're a Christian nation, you guys. We need to be, like, expressing that with everybody we talk to,
mm-hmm.
with every phone call we make.
Yeah,
that's what I was talking the other day. It's true. I mean, even this morning, I always talk about Jesus. I have that, their attention. They're serving me on the phone. And you can just end it with a prayer for them if they believe or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So when you have a guard, and I'm just wondering when a church is attacked, who is it that is attacking?
The Muslim mob, the radical Muslims.
It just groups of people that join together. I mean, or
sometimes it's just one guy on a motorcycle.
But
Christmas, there was a lot of intel saying they're going to be trying to get into every church they can. So they set up a brick. The police set up bricks.
The fortress.
A fortress at each corner, and literally just had a hole with a gun sticking out as the road comes down and would go down to our church.
Mm-hmm.
So they prepared for that because it was high security.
Yeah.
Good question. You mentioned two colonies in Arkwala.
Mm-hmm.
How far are they apart, and how much do y'all interact with that other Christian colony?
Old Christian colony, probably maybe not a mile.
Yeah, a couple miles.
That's
where Baffle's family was from. Very dark. We tried to reach the people there. They reject us. It's all drug induced. It's just a very dark place.
Yeah.
But we praying because we still want to try to reach.
There's actually opening. Someone is selling a little space, maybe this big, just like a hall, trying to sell. And they ask me. They said, you want to buy it maybe for future, like, you know, fortunes or what is called the benefits and like a profit thing. I said, you know, maybe God is leading us back into this area. Because when we were there, mostly people ceased their practices from Hinduism and all the idols and going to the graves, praying to the dead, and many other was activities. And we were actually kicked out because I was teaching 7 days a week, morning devotion, and God grace was so awesome. Allowed me to speak from USA, 45-minute message early in the morning after the Muslims mosque ceased their prayer, and then the speaker will say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise be the God of Israel and God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And that, as I told by Muslims and others, they said that voice was reaching almost 3 miles.
Wow.
And the sweepers, the Christian sweepers and very poor Muslim sweepers, in the morning, very early in the morning, they get up and they'll be sweeping the streets before the activity starts, and they'd be listening to the message. Mm-hmm. And then, after almost a year of being graced out to do that, the police came, and someone, a Muslim...
He was a special, like a guy with the, you know, secret police, and he knew what's going to take place. So he came and he said, "I just want to let you know, tomorrow is going to raid happen. So they are coming prepared with the big sticks, bamboo sticks, and some other things. They are going to beat everyone. So make sure nobody's there. And take the speaker down, because there's a complaint in the police station that our women, when they make a dough in the morning for the tortilla or chapatis for breakfast, they are not reciting Quran verses, they are reciting Psalms and Bible passages." And they said, "You are going to be, you know, beat up." I said, "Okay, thank you for informing me." So we took the speakers, and then we didn't put that up, but they rejected. But thank God they had, just like, you know, and before the flood of Noah, 120 years, and the Jonah day, they had almost more than 40 days to hear. And same, they had over 1.5 years, and people were actually asking, "Why are you not teaching? Why is the speakers not going on?" I say, you know, somebody put a complaint. They said, "That's too bad." So anyways, that's one of them reason we was out of that community and got into this new area.
We actually outgrew Persia. People were standing on the roads and living. So we bought this land that we now built our church on.
Yeah.
And another question.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned a lot of the stories about possession and just how it's mainly Muslim, but there's the influence of witchcraft and Hinduism.
Uh-huh.
Is that, so that's just supernatural God's work, the possession. Would Muslims in other countries be into that as much, or would they not be into the witchcraft? Is it unique more to...
Yes, there's, you know, two big groups. One is just like, you know, in the book of Acts, the Pharisee and the Sadducees. One believe in spirits, and other believe in spirits and angels that can speak, and other says no resurrection. So same sect in Islam. There's a one sect, they said you can worship to the dead bodies. You go to the man who's deceased and call upon his spirit for goodness and luck, good lucks. And that's the sect mostly of forged people to go into to have a demon possession, witchcraft, and also, what is the other word? Witchcraft and reciting on the dead bodies and calling upon the spirits and sorcerers.
Like the Satanism within
Islam. Yep. And they do use Quran as a, you know, like a jingle, make a jingles, and then use some certain passages to call upon Gabriel or call upon a jinn. They believe in jinn. Jinn is like, you know, the word for demons or Nephilim. Okay, it's time out. Father God, thank you so much for this hour, and bless our coffee and cookies and donuts and everything we do. In Jesus' name, Amen.